Hearing is conditional use number 2284, Eastern Shore Natural Gas Company.
This is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agricultural residential district for the expansion of conditional use number 889, which is ordinance number 536, for public utilities or public services uses to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Northwest 400, Sussex County, containing 29.98 acres more or less. The property being a landlocked parcel is accessed off Emma Jane Lane, approximately 0.33 miles south of East Newton Road, which is Sussex County Route 584. The 911 addresses are 17019, 17025, 17035 and 17041 Black Cherry Drive, Bridgeville, and the tax parcel ID is District 131, Map 10, Parcel 99.00. Submitting to the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's site plan, a copy of the staff analysis, a copy of a letter that has been received from the Sussex County Engineering Department Utility Planning Division. We have a copy of the applicant's submittal letter, a copy of the deed for the property, a copy of the DELDOT service level evaluation response. We have a copy of ordinance number 536, which is CU number 889, from 27th of September 1988. We've received one mail return letter, zero letters in support, and we have received 28 letters in opposition, although I would note, Mr. Chairman, that a few of those do appear to be duplicates. Thank you.
And Mr. Chairman, just for the record, two things. One is I think Mr. Whitehouse just invented a new T-shirt slogan for Bridge Chill.
I love it.
They want to change the name now.
I know. And secondly, I'm going to recuse myself on this one.
Understood.
So, thanks.
Okay.
All right. Yes, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners, members of the Planning and Zoning Department. My name is Mark Parker. I'm the engineering manager at Eastern Shore Natural Gas. I'm here to represent Eastern Shore on behalf on this exciting project and the opportunity here under the conditional use. Just a few notes here as we get started. Eastern Shore safely and reliably served the natural gas transportation needs on the Delmarva Peninsula and the region since 1959. We serve all of Delaware, supporting Chesapeake Utilities as the local distribution company here in Sussex County, along with industrial users and energy producers, again, throughout the Delmarva. Currently, we maintain almost 600 miles of transmission main pipeline in operation. We have three compressor station sites, one in Pennsylvania and two in Delaware, one in Delaware City, and the other site here in Bridgeville, as noted by this plan. This particular compressor station and location has been operated at this location since 1988. It ensures adequate natural gas is transported throughout the region. The current compressor station location is approximately 8 acres. And that area was given conditional use approval as noted back in 1988 when it was constructed and it put into service under conditional use 889. At the time, Wheatley Elementary School was in place. There was infrastructure in the area, including the railroad and then the industrial facilities located to the north. So we've been good neighbors here, living harmoniously under this conditional use since that time. This final application, we hope, is to note that this parcel is wholly owned and held by Eastern Shore Natural Gas. It is farmed at times by a tenant farmer, and we enjoy that relationship. However, we do understand that this facility does serve as a utility. There's a solar farm field in the northwest corner. As I noted, the compressor station units that are located and contained wholly within two separate buildings. And then the application before you to look at the opportunity to place what is really a metered regulator station or a receipt point for natural gas. The existing compressor station facility is comprised of stone cover, two compressor unit buildings, several small auxiliary structures, a control room, there's a stormwater facility, and of course some above grade piping and ancillary equipment. Overall, this parcel is an industrial use. It is clearly used that way for all of the facilities we have contained. And as I said, we provide ancillary tenant farming to benefit the area at the time being. The interconnect project will develop approximately 4 acres of land. It is primarily stone. There is above-grade piping. It's a little tough to see here, but if we zoom in, we can get an idea of it. That above-grade piping is generally some 4-6 and some 8-inch piping. It is proposed to be approximately 5 to 8 feet above grade, generally an individual's height to service the pipeline itself. It serves as a receipt point. So what we see before us is there are three offload points. Am I able to prompt from here?
Mm-hmm.
Those receipt points are located.
If you touch one of the colors at the top, you can then color them.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I'm going to try to just pull it generally here. Each of the three trailers that we see, where they the proposed regulator heater skids, those locations are the offloads. So at each of those locations, a truck would enter the facility, and it would hook up to those offload points. At any one time, that means three trucks would be offloading. We showed the locations for any number of trailers being there. One would offload as they neared the end of the offload period, which is about 4 hours. Then a second trailer would be brought in. The third location is shown in case a trailer was left behind for any reason. We leave ourselves to not be jammed up and still be able to make offloads. So there are three primary offload points. And again, at any one time, that means three trucks or three trailers could be offloading. We've worked closely with the Delaware Department of Transportation to get an understanding of how those trucks would come and go off the site. So given that 4 hour offload period, in general, that's about how long it takes. That means any one station would see approximately six trucks per day. And that would depend upon the receipt frequency. It couldn't be any greater than that, but it could be less than that. So given that, we would determine that we would be 18 trucks delivery. That's 36 total trips. Of course, that does not meet the warrant for a traffic impact study. It does, however, still warrant the need to look at the intersection of Emma Jane Lane and Newton Road. And we worked through that with DLDOT, Wendy Palasco and her department, and determined that a design deviation was appropriate, knowing that the peak hour movements would be somewhere between 2 to 3 trips turning into the site. They could be coming from the west. They could be coming from the east on Newtown Road. That would depend upon ultimately where the gas was coming from, whether that was compressed natural gas, a liquefied natural gas, or potentially a renewable natural gas. Those shippers haven't been determined yet, and I'll get into that a little further in the application and review about where we stand in our process. So through that design deviation process, and it was granted by DLDOT, there are no intersection improvements required at the intersection of Emma Jane and Newton Road. It was determined that the types of trucks coming in, they're generally WB55 or WB65 trailer type sizes, your standard over-the-road 18-wheeler. And with the development of Miller Metals and the existing industrial facilities on Emma Jane, the deviation was granted. So, as I noted, the project serves as a receipt point, and at this facility, gas is offloaded, it's metered, and it's regulated. It's actually even heated. When you drop gas pressure very quickly, you need to heat that. So that's on this facility as well. The gas is not treated. It's not processed. There's nothing that happens. It's never evacuated to atmosphere unless there was an overpressure situation, which could be at any normal meter and regulator station throughout the state, throughout the region, at a compressor station. There's always those safety precautions. But the gas is not treated or handled in any way here other than offload it for direct injection into our pipeline system. So it meets tariff level quality, and we don't expect any time if it doesn't meet that, it simply goes the valve shut and the truck is just sent away. The gas is not expunged to the atmosphere. It's not given a chance. There's nothing harmful about it. Like any normal operating gas station, the injection of mercaptan into the system is meant to indicate the lower explosive limit, the upper explosive limits. It's meant to be more pungent than it needs to be in order that people are aware of its presence, but there is no actual discharge of natural gas with intent to the atmosphere, okay? I want to note that the trucks and the piping that we see are approximately 800 feet to the nearest residence. So when we look to site this here, even though we have siting authority with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, doesn't mean we don't take into account site needs, community considerations, et cetera. So while it's not shown directly here, and I apologize, I don't have a better graphic, there is a residential community to the south or to the east southeast. The closest residence to that far eastern edge is 800 feet away. So there's the stone yard, a 6-foot security fence. We have alarms on that. It's 24/7 manned operation out of Dover. That also will have cameras and access to make sure that things are kept safe on site. Because of the offload, there's likely one of the operators will be on site and contained within a closing gate. But we still take that security very seriously. We also take, again, the buffers to the residential neighborhood. The stormwater facility has been strategically placed to the eastern side of the facility. It is a partial infiltration facility. It couldn't infiltrate everything, all the volumetric water that we needed to. So it does have a small spillway, but it overlands to the south and is not impactful to any residents, school, or commercial or industrial users in the area. This proposed facility and the trucks that are there are 1,300 feet away from the school, almost 1,100 feet away from the playground. So we take very seriously safety at all times. The PHMSA, the Pipeline Hazardous Material Safety Administration, through our use of or through our regulation through the United States Department of Transportation and PHMSA, we look closely. We always want to know what a potential impact radius is. I know there's been always concerns about these types of facilities, and that's natural, and we welcome that commentary. When I looked at the potential impact radius, if we look at the largest pipe, would be a 10-inch run at a maximum allowable operating pressure of 800 pounds. The impact radius is 200 feet. So you can see that we've positioned this facility if something catastrophic did happen within the fenced area, nothing would actually leave the property limits. Okay. We work very closely with the state fire marshal, with the local fire departments, and I mentioned that there would be an operator on site and the 24/7 manned operation in Dover. We also, because we work closely with the fire departments, they know how to handle, and we've never had one, and knock on wood, from my mouth to God's ears, we don't expect to have one because of how we maintain our system. But if we did, the fire department knows how to handle it, and it would be very, very simple. Once the gas blows down, nothing's left. We were able to shut the system, shut the valves, and everybody at the site would be secure again. There is a pipeline, as we note here. I'll zoom in just a little bit. There are natural gas, that 8-inch line that you see running from, it looks like I don't know the better term, but the proposed meter regulator skids. You see that annotated just south of the stoned area. There's an 8-inch main that runs to the south. And then this is where we create the interconnect with the two existing. There's actually four lines that come in and out from west to east here and head out towards US 13A. There's a 6-inch discharge line that comes out of the existing compressor station and a 10-inch line that comes out of the existing compressor station. We're tying into both to naturally feed our gas line system. So this gas doesn't go into the compressor station. It's able to be directly injected at tariff level rates into the existing mains and serves points south in Sussex County. As I mentioned, there's no process or process piping. This facility is, you've seen meter and regulator stations throughout the state that are managed by Eastern Shore and Chesapeake Utilities. In essence, this is just another meter and regulator station. Instead of it accepting gas through a pipeline, it accepts gas through a virtual pipeline or via truck. Okay. As I noted, the pipe is generally 5 to 6 feet off the ground. There are one or two elements in that southwest corner of the facility, the proposed meter regulator skids. There's an up, what we call an up and over. It's so that people can egress quickly instead of having to climb over a pipe or duck under. It's 8 feet tall at that location, but we're close to 1,000 feet away from anywhere. We do have a vegetative buffer also. It's a natural buffer that you can check out on Google Earth, and I apologize for not having a graphic for it, but it does separate the eastern subdivision and this facility. And to the south, I know for Phyllis Wheatley Elementary, we're certainly always aware of our great neighbors there. There's natural vegetation that won't shield this facility, but its distance is so great, it does shield the existing compressor station, okay? We hold approvals from Sussex Conservation District. from the United States Fish and Wildlife Service, Delaware SHPO, which State Historic Preservation Office, excuse me, the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control through their Rare Endangered Threatened and Endangered Species Program, the SCRP. And our next step is FERC. So the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, we've prepared our general package to be submitted to them. We're garnering the last of our local and state approvals. Once those are approved and we have a viable shipper, we will be making application with the federal government. We haven't done that to date. It is not uncommon for us to garner all of our local approvals to see how we fit in and how that looks. And while we have siting authority, we tend to yield towards coming in and garnering all necessary approvals rather than taking that leap. So in conclusion, the proposed development will not have a substantial impact on the physical, economic, or social development in the area. We've selected the location to develop this project as it minimizes the potential for negative environmental or community impacts. As I noted, the minimal above-ground facilities are proposed. And they're similar or actually smaller in scale compared to the Bridgeville Compressor Station that's already part of the landscape and located to the southwest. And we believe it fits the character of the site and activity currently under use. We know that it's in line with the general land use for the area. The railroad, the commercial, and the industrial facilities that lie along Emma Jane Lane and to the north with the newly constructed or should be newly constructed Miller Metals. The access to US 404, a known trucking route. We want to bring the site into overall compliance with understanding the conditional use. And so that's the application before you to seek conditional use for industrial for the entire parcel.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone in the commission has any questions for you. And we'll start with Mr. Hopkins.
So the facility currently, you're trucking the gas in and then you distribute it?
We don't currently do that. Everything that comes on site is subgrade. So the pipes come in, the natural gas pipelines come in, that goes to our compressor units that are located within the existing buildings. And then it's typically compressed from about 500 pounds, maybe back up to 600 or 800 pounds, depending upon the need. So that helps transport that compressed gas, is able to then move through the pipeline, both to the west and to the east. We serve Cambridge and Easton off of this facility too.
So you have to basically boost it back up.
We boost it back
up. Push it.
Yes, sir.
Gotcha. And now you're requesting to also truck it. You're going to have trucks coming in?
Right. So there are three offload points. The opportunity is that if and when during peak seasons, and there's additional use that this could be opportunistic for us to bring in compressed natural gas, liquefied, or renewable natural gases, it would truck in. So we would use a virtual pipeline to bring those opportunities to us rather than trying to bring from our interconnects up in Pennsylvania to bring all that gas to the south.
When you say virtual pipeline?
A truck,
okay.
Sorry.
So because you can't get enough through the pipeline, you have to supplement it with a truck?
That does create opportunities for us, yes.
So the main change is it you're not only are you currently receiving it underground, but you want to be able to supplement that with additional trucks.
That's correct.
And you said that the 200 foot area, is that like a blast radius or something?
Yeah, potential impact radius would be if there was a catastrophic failure of the pipeline.
That's the maximum?
Yeah, right. 196 feet is technically a 10-inch pipe at 800 pounds of pressure. I said 200 just to be conservative.
So if we were walking around out there 200 feet away from the from the work area or the gas, the trucks or whatever, we'd be okay.
Yes, sir. There'd still be a percussion, but you would not be within that blast radius. That's correct.
Okay. I think that's all the questions I have right now. Thank you.
Okay. So I see you.
Where are you expecting these trucks to come from?
We don't know yet. The shippers haven't signed up. That's why we haven't made actual application to the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. There have been some, and I know a lot of it gets to the paper, we haven't determined who those shippers are. And it could be that we just purchased, as I noted, it could bolster the facility during peak hours or peak days. It could be just general compressed natural gas that we bring out of Pennsylvania at other interconnects and use it on and hold it on site and then inject it during peak loads.
So you wouldn't be using the rail line, just trucks?
No, we don't find advantage of bringing in by rail. There's no siding there, or at least for our use. We've investigated that at other times, but it would still have to then be taken off the rail and offloaded again, so the trucks are still posed. And it's our truckers. At this time, we're proposing to use Marlin Natural Gas Services, which is a subsidiary of Chesapeake Utilities Corporation, which is where Eastern Shore falls under as a business unit. So it's our truckers, our known system, our known commodity, and our operator-qualified technicians using the equipment.
And what would be the hours that these trucks would be running?
Well, because we don't know the exact when they could be coming in, whether it's compressed natural gas, whether it's renewable, we don't have exact hours on those yet. It could be mainly daytime, but we're not excluding the possibility of a nighttime delivery.
Because I'm thinking we'd probably want some hours just to know if it's coming through when little kids are getting off a bus or...
Sure. Yeah, I understand that consideration. It would still, you know, those peak hour movements are 7 to 9 a.m., 4 to 6 p.m., right? We're all aware of that. DLDOT has not put a condition on when those trucks can and can't go. They would just be part of the normal flow of traffic in the area. And when we're dealing with from anywhere between 0 to 3 trucks in a peak hour movement, that's 3 trucks over a 120-minute window. We didn't feel that that rose to the level of concern, and we vetted that with DLDOT.
So are you putting a new compressor in, or are you just going to use the compressor that's already there?
So there is an existing compressor unit there.
Correct.
This project and the ability to expand the conditional use doesn't involve a new compressor unit. This gas is strictly injected right into the existing pipeline.
Okay.
It's actually decompressed. It comes off the trailers at a higher pressure and is able to be directly injected.
Okay. Well, then that doesn't mean that gets rid of my next question of whether it's an electric or gas compressor. So. My main questions had to do with if it was a new compressor and sounds and berms and trees and barriers. And does this have anything to do with the biogas facility in Seaford? Are you hoping to use some of that?
This does not. If they end up opening that unit, we could be a potential receipt point for them, but we're not basing this project strictly on them. That's why, again, we don't have any other shippers. We're pulling those negotiations together.
One of those things I wanted to have on based on the letters that came in.
I completely appreciate your question. It's
okay.
Understandable.
Those are all my questions. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
I just have one. Are you currently doing this process in any other facility?
We've investigated a spot over at our Holly Mount M&R. That's an existing facility. It already it's in operation, but we haven't taken any steps to potentially inject at that location as well. And again, that's on the far eastern side where we give Chesapeake Utilities natural gas on Beaver Dam Road.
I was just curious more from the safety side of it, if there's a track record that you've already established that we've been doing this and
not from the trucking standpoint, but from our pipeline operation, from our normal meter and regulators, not by truck.
Okay.
No, Marlin handles that and they've not had any issues, but not, I can't say that Eastern Shore specifically.
Worried about with the kids being so close by. That's all I had.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All my questions have been covered.
Okay. All right. Mr. Whitehouse,
for me, thank you.
Staff?
No, thank you.
All right, then. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if there's anyone here with interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of conditional use number 2288, Broome Solar Partners? Anyone here?
Eastern Shore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's like, wait a minute.
Well, another power company.
Still energy, but just a different kind. Okay. All right. My bad. Conditional use number 2284, Eastern Shore Natural Gas Company. Anyone like to speak in favor? Not? Okay. There's anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to conditional use number 2284? Okay. Operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to conditional use number 2284, Eastern Shore Natural Gas Company?
If there is anyone on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Okay, we have Maria on the line. Maria, please state your name and address before making your comment.
My name is Maria Cyan. My address is 13386 Madison Avenue, Shelbyville, Delaware, 19975. And I would like to, firstly, I turned in on behalf of the Health Environmental Network a very itemized comment on the facility. And I'm not going to read through it all, but after hearing the presentation, we really don't know many more details than we did before that we were surprised at. So I'm going to start with what was turned in. It basically says that the project is provided a 50-point non-traditional gas supply, substantive, renewable natural gas, compressed natural gas, or liquefied natural gas, with meters regulated and heated before entering the Eastern Shore Natural Gas Pipeline system. After the application, the gentleman just said that they are negotiating, they don't know where my guess is they're going to negotiate with biogas plant. As we know, that is a major project taking the region from the state. The paragraph that the applicant and turned to the county, as I said, the description even of the source of where the gas is coming from, how the trucks will enter the property, how the trucks will be today for off-road gas, how the facility will be used to meter regulate the heat, no discussion about whether the sources of gas will be directed to the Bridgeville compressor station, which, by the way, is in the process right now of obtaining permits for a $14 million compressor. So the gas can be compressed prior to entering the pipeline. I can't understand why the Zoning Commission would allow such a vague and uninformative request for these on the agenda. It would seem, when you're talking about something that is flammable, it simplifies some type of emergency plan, to be more detailed so that we know what is coming in, how much of it is coming in, to come and say we're negotiating, is really big. And especially when we're dealing with something, it's something that is potentially exploited and out of it. There's no analysis of increased trust. If the project, if they don't know and they're negotiating, I don't see how this could go any further with DOT until they know the details, so a traffic impact study should be done. I don't see how a plus study should not be done when there is an active FERC application in that I believe we closed with our comments that we had found when we were trying to get information on the project. I don't think that was told or submitted to the planning and service commission. The school was mentioned, so the school was built years ago for the African American population by UConn. I think it was back in 1921. But the school was expanded to 3 times the size in 2004. There are hazards with this kind of thing. The children from the swing set in the yard are pretty hard to deal with looking at this. To me, the last applicant had a meeting with the community, knew exactly what they were going to do with the project, asked if there were concerns of the community. As I think everybody's aware, there's a lot of concerns with the body of that and the rules of energy. To come with absolutely no final plan, especially when a school and a playground were sheltered in the plane is so close, to me seems like we should be made for consideration for a planning and zoning, especially with the welfare of the children at a training school. Did anybody reach out to the school board, to the Parent Teacher Association? Did they meet with the school and parents met that this is going on? I talked to someone who definitely lived right together. They had noticed it. They were right across the street from me. So, you know, I think we're putting the cart before the horse to say, to be in the kindest way to say this. The applicant talks about a 200-foot dune. He didn't mention anything about a percussion zone. What would be the percussion zone? What could be the negative impact on the elementary school children on a swing set during the strain on a percussion zone? To me, this is dangerous. And then if we go into the comprehensive plan, it doesn't appear that any of this was considered. We're taking an ag industrial zone next to a school and turning it into a total industrial zone that could have the potential of a lot of shippers being brought in there. I think this can be approved with you guys. And especially, well, right now, we're going through a first application and did not turn that information in yet. There is in the comprehensive plan, page 248 to 285, that safety of travelers should always be a primary goal in planning transportation improvements in Bucks County. Safety depends on interrelated factors, road design, traffic volume, speed limits, infrastructure age. It is to identify safety hazards. There is not even a truck route that is turned down this application. It basically says, yeah, something's going to be coming in. We don't know how much. We're negotiating contracts, and we would like your approval. The public is not convinced that this is going to be good for the neighborhood or for the health and welfare of the children that attend Phillips Street Elementary School, especially considering that the zoning administrator did insist that the applicant submit a noise assessment that is potentially done. We see none of those documents in the file. The traffic impact letter from DelDOT not requiring it. I don't understand how this is a major thing in a renewable industrial gas. You can come in and say, it's just insanity to me. And I should bring up the fact that this is, again, a high minority, low-income population. If you go to the East Bay Green Bowl, please look it up on the map, it's in a mile radius. We need to protect those most vulnerable in our society, and we have not done a good job in Hudson County of doing this. The last thing, to me, I don't understand the traffic, especially talking about 404. You have one lane going in, one lane going out, which is a major beach thorough there. Again, the traffic route is not even drawn here. It only mentions 404. It doesn't even mention 13. This is supposed to be something in the comprehensive plan that is supposed to be considered with the county beach and the resort community. There are accidents all over 404. The neighbors were up in arms when they wanted to put in some large farms on that road in November. I don't understand how this can go forward without any type of land contract approved, and with this FERC acquisition going on for that trust. So I would request that until contracts are negotiated, until we have an idea of actually what they intend on doing on this site, until we have a traffic group, until we have who and where the gas and what kind of it's coming in, it's totally irresponsible. I would ask that you deny this application until this fact is here. This is too much.
It's too much with neglect. Thank you. Okay. We thank you, Ms. Payan. Operator, is there anyone else standing by who would like to speak?
We have Greg on the line. Greg, your line is open. Please state your name and address before making your comment.
Hi, my name is Greg Layton. I live at 9052 Below Grove Road, Camden, Delaware, 19934. I'm speaking tonight as a Sussex County landowner and as a Delaware organizer for Food and Water Watch, which represents hundreds of Delawareans concerned about the environment and the climate. I'm calling this evening to express my objections to pipeline expansion for Eastern Shore Natural Gas on Black Cherry Drive near Bridgeville. My first concern about the expanded pipeline facility would be that it would be pretty much a date at the facility of the elementary school. The gentleman who presented me said, of the school sits only about 1,100 feet from the school. That's less than a physical mile, less than 4 football fields away. We're talking about a hazardous explosive gas. I simply cannot believe that it would stay within a chain link fence if something catastrophic happens. When the gentleman talks about a 200-foot blast radius, it's telling that this was really talking about a pressurized pipe bursting. Would this blast radius be larger if the gas fall on fire? I don't know, and I'm not willing to take an optimistic view of it. I'm certain that many parents and teachers would object to this so-called alarm truck pulling up in close proximity to their students every day if they knew about it. I hope the news media and concerned citizens reach out to these families who are just as precious as families living anywhere else in the county before this proposal becomes reality. Their voices should be heard. According to USEPA, residents of the community within a mile of the proposed gas pipeline expansion are significantly more likely to be people of color than residents of Sussex County as a whole. They're about 3 times as likely as residents of Sussex County as a whole to live in poverty. They're also proportionally elderly. But as that gentleman said, the nearest resident is only about 800 feet away. From my viewpoint, it seems like just another example of a big system placing a potentially dirty and dangerous facility in a vulnerable neighborhood. Finally, I object to this proposal on the ground that it would only entrench factory farm gas infrastructure in Sussex County for decades to come. An overwhelming consensus of climate scientists agrees that we have no time to waste in moving away from carbon-based fuel if we want to avert a climate catastrophe. And the proposed pipeline expansion would really make the problem worse. I thank you for your time.
All right, sir, we thank you. Operator, is there anyone else standing by?
We have another caller. Caller, your line is open. Please state your name and address before making your comment.
Caller, are you there?
If there is anyone else on the line in favor of or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star. Okay, we have a caller. Caller, your line is open. Please state your name and address before making your comment.
Yes, I am Rafael Sagasti-Mateco, 55 Sunset Road, Newark, Delaware, 19711. I am speaking as part of Sussex Health and Environmental Network, a coalition of citizens concerned about health, environment, and clear air and water for future generations. Dear Chair, members of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, I seek to oppose approval of Eastern Shore Natural Gas, the Commission of New CU 2284, Delaware, for the following reasons. I will call on the grounds of environmental racism. This application is a concern statewide on the grounds of its environmental racism and must be rejected on those grounds as well as other grounds. The proximity of homes and a school renders this site not suitable for the several environmental impacts of some kinds of trucks delivering waste and litter. The logic of zoning is to prevent such incompatible needs. Because the community is largely a community of color, Hispanic and African American, and no adequate environmental impact statement has been presented in the report, this application carries the added burden of environmental racism for which it must be rejected. New truck lots of waste products in a residential area with a school, it's just not compatible with one. It is an outrage. I should say that it is an outrage that it was even presented to you for consideration. Thank you for listening.
Thank you. Okay, operator, is there anyone else who would like to speak?
No one else from the line has indicated they would like to speak.
Okay, then. All right. Commissioners, any further questions?
I do have one question. They did have one point there. Well, they had several points. I'll listen to all of them. Would there be a safety plan or an emergency plan put in place with the schools, and would we be able to see that? I mean, I used to teach at a school that taught next. I was next to a poultry plant.
Sure.
And we had a plan in place that we practiced the, you know, if anything were to happen crazy at the poultry plant. So.
Right. I have to admit that I didn't check with our safety department to see if there's a plan in place with the compressor station and operation of the pipelines in on the facility today. I can check with that, and we're certainly willing to put a safety plan in place. That is our pleasure to do so, and would certainly.
Yeah. That would, like I say, it's a conditional use. So I would like to have that in place.
Sure.
As I said before, I'm concerned about when the trucks would be coming through and would they be going past a school, and how could we not have them do that?
Right, we don't anticipate them going past the school, and they raised some of the callers raised some great points, and if I may,
please.
Is it appropriate for me to answer? We worked with DLDOT again. While we didn't know where they were coming from, because it's not a predisposed, and this isn't a referendum on BioDevCo by no means. The discussion here, and I understand they're saying we don't know who the shippers are, and I'll get to that application piece that I actually left out of my presentation. I apologize, but we assumed with DLDOT that the trucks would come from the eastern side, mainly US 13. They wanted us to look at the more heavily trafficked areas because they had an existing traffic impact study and traffic analysis in with Miller Metals, and we looked at through that lens. In ultimate reality is, while we don't know whether they'll come from the western side 404 or from the eastern side 13, we looked at the more concentrated area and still found that those safety concerns, those timing issues, and ultimately the total trips generated weren't of concern. That would keep them completely away from Wheatley Elementary. We also did not propose any access on from the western side off of Black Cherry Lane. All the trucks would come in from the north from 404 to keep them out of the residential areas, away from the elementary school, from crossing the railroad tracks and doing those unnecessary movements. We utilized the existing roadway corridor to be mindful of safety, no different than a gas truck going to deliver to the Exxon station or to Wawa. Those gasoline tankers are always of concern and should be monitored. The trucks that we use, they're properly valved. They have shutdown components. The truck drivers operating them are operator qualified. They're not just a hire by day tractor trailer, and he hooks up and takes it to where we need. He or she hooks up to take it where we need it. They are our employees, and they're OQ'd to travel along the roads. So,
would you be okay with that being a condition that they not go through the I just know I used to work with the legislature, too.
Absolutely.
And that was one of the calls we get all the time. There's these trucks going through our our town, and they're not supposed to.
We would very willingly condition that, and unless a tractor trailer got lost at that point, they would.
Sir, I mean, I'm not saying like every now, you know, like
The route would be our goal. Our goal and our improvements are to have them access Emma Jane off of Newton Road. Period.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
May I address the application process that I didn't during my presentation? I think it'll answer some further questions.
Sure.
Okay. So I noted that we haven't filed with FERC yet, and once FERC, they take jurisdiction when it comes to environmental social justice issues. They also get into noise and siting authority. So FERC, to grant us a Certificate of Public Convenience and Necessity, a CPCN, we call it a CP filing. That's how we affectionately refer to it. For FERC to grant us an order through a CP filing, they look at that EJ Justice tool, the screening tool that was referenced. We take that very seriously, and when we made application to FERC for the Bridgeville Compressor Station as recently as 2015-16, those items come up and are analyzed by FERC. One of the callers mentioned, and this is where I failed to mention, I apologize. After we've made application to the local and state government here for this interconnection project, we have made application with FERC under a prior notice filing to add a compressor unit inside an existing structure. So we're not expanding the facility, we're putting a unit inside an existing building that was large enough to handle that unit. So you can look it up, it's under a docket with the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And that facility it is just expanding, again, giving us opportunity to move adequate gas through our pipeline system. Both of these components come into play to meet our shippers' needs. The applications with FERC would take in, so when we file for the CPCN for this facility, for this interconnect facility, they would address noise. They won't address traffic, that's DLDOT. They will address the environmental and social justice issues. And it's a long dissertation contained within what's called a resource report. And we take that seriously, and our consultants have already prepared that. We've looked closely at it to make sure that that is addressed. And we're confident that we know the area. And again, we're not providing any use or not operating the way we currently operate. We're not trying to, we would never pick on a piece of property. We're trying to utilize the existing parcel. The pipelines are in place. Rather than take a lateral through new areas off of 13 and take them out to another farmland, disrupt other wetland areas, emergent wetlands, waters, forested areas, and disturb more agricultural or maybe more commercial or potential residential zoning areas, we're trying to make best use of the property that we have in front of us. You asked about the trucks, and I want to clarify. I heard hundreds of trucks. I've heard thousands of trucks. We've seen a lot of contemplation over what that would look like. The reason that it's limited to 18 trucks a day, and I'm not going to get into all the volumetric calculations, we're only talking about 6,000 decatherms per day for the vehicles, or for the total inlet capacity, and that's based upon the meters and the piping we have. 18 trucks would meet that maximum capability of the system. So the only way to get more trucks would be to expand the facility further. But you see, that's not our plan at this time. Thank you for that opportunity to clarify.
I assume you understand this, but I don't want to assume. We'll talk about it. What you've applied for is a conditional use.
Yes.
And in the conditional use process, the commission has the ability to approve, deny, or approve what with stipulations. And many of the things that you've mentioned could become stipulations in the approval. And I just wanted to make sure that you're aware of that. For instance, if you're saying that the maximum the maximum number of trucks that you could have is 18, then perhaps there might be a stipulation that the maximum number of trucks will be limited to 18.
I understand.
And things of, you know, of that nature. There could be a requirement for a safety plan, for instance, could be I think another example of a condition. I just want to make sure that you're aware
fully.
That that's how that works.
I do. Thank you very much.
And which is the reason for a lot of our questions.
Understood.
Is that we can get a handle on, you know, what might need to be done if the commission decides to approve it. Anyone else? Yes, Mr. Hopkins. What else?
So this is where I grew up in Bridgeville. It feel like the feeling that I would think that the public might be perceiving is they're picturing something like downtown Millsboro, and you have all these trucks trying to get out onto Route 13 at Wawa. And that's not the case. I just want to make sure everybody understands that is not the case here. You have 404, the bypass around Bridgeville, where it comes into Newton's. You have a whole lot more than 18 trucks that are turning off heading in towards Bridgeville. They're not going through Bridgeville. They're heading in towards Bridgeville, and then they're going into the they're going to the Purdue feed mill. They're going across the street to the pickle or potato guys that are across the street from him. I mean, hundreds of trucks daily during peak season. And they're going to go a couple of hundred yards further than those two spots, and then they're going to make that right-hand turn into this location, and then they're going to pull back out. The only reason but I can imagine anyone in a truck would make the left-hand turn out of this location is because it was an accident. Because he's running right into a town, and he doesn't want to do that. He wants to turn around, he would go get back out onto the bypass, which is 1,000 feet away, and he's either going to turn left if he's going to Denton, on the bypass, he's going to turn left and then go up and make a right, or he's going to turn right and come out at Newton's and do his business. I just want to make sure we're getting a perspective of what we have here.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a question or comment?
No. One last piece, if you'll indulge me. The public notice issue was raised. I failed to mention when we make application with FERC under the CPCN, we have to notify everybody within a 1 mile radius of application. So the public will be notified, and if a public hearing is required, FERC will stipulate to that and will provide that opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyone else on the commission have any questions? Okay, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning.